Don't hit snooze anymore.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Wake up.
I love this show.
Chum 104.5.
Live from the Oakville Show Home, part of the $6 million grand prize in the Princess Margaret Home Lottery.
Unfortunately, this house is not Airbnb-able. You got to win it.
You do.
You have to win it.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
How about that?
Welcome home.
Wouldn't
man.
That be nice if you pulled up in that driveway and said, "Hi, honey, I'm home."
It just feels like home. It's so comfy. You know, just the way that everything is decorated, it just makes it a very, very comfortable stay. Now, I don't know if I could say the same about this next place to habitate.
Yeah.
The Goodyear blimp. Anybody hear about this story? If you go on Airbnb in honor of the Michigan Notre Dame game, which is coming up, the Goodyear blimp is going to be somewhere in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, I've been to that one. I've been to that game when they played Washington State University. What are they doing? They're going to let it hang over the stadium?
No, not even.
No?
That's the part that stinks to me. It's not going to be in the air. You can go on Airbnb and get a night stay in the Goodyear blimp, but it's going to be grounded. It's going to be on the ground.
See, I would want it in the air. And then a free flight home.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, grounded. I don't know about
like,
that.
Like, what's the allure of that? It's, I mean, all right, the cockpit is kind of, all right, you guys have seen the blimp. The top part is the big helium-filled bubble thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got a little cockpit in the bottom, and that's kind of skinny. So it's not even that big of a room.
Okay, here's the concern, yeah. I guess. Where are they going to go to the washroom? I bet you. I don't think they have one.
I don't think the blimp has a washroom. Yeah.
But what an experience that would be.
I guess it would be. It'd be good for Instagram, right?
But you and I were thinking, you know, I'll go in. I've already had my suitcase packed.
Right.
Just drop me off at the house when I'm finished. That's what I was thinking when I saw the story.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah.
We were thinking door-to-door service.
Yeah.
You guys have come up with all better ideas than what this is.
I know. But, you know, when you see it so high up in the sky, which is pretty incredible.
Sure.
And you wonder, what does it look like inside? For those that are curious, I understand why they would want to do that. So they're going to – it's a money grab. Let's do one more thing. Let's make sure that they can stay overnight. Now, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Please do not wear any high heels because you can just puncture that sucker.
Marilyn, the bubble's on the top.
I don't care. I don't. It's like our gym school. The gym teacher at school. No high heels on the basketball court.
Right.
No high heels and no candles.
No candles.
Okay.
That's right.
Helium, man. Yeah, anyway, in any case, it's $150 a night. It opens up next Tuesday. If you want to stay at the Goodyear blimp, go right ahead. I'm going
to
pass on.
Okay, let me just say this. Yeah. Just one other thing. I've been to Ann Arbor. I've been to a game,
okay.
Right? And
okay.
So, and there's a lot of tailgating, right?
Yeah, right.
So wouldn't it be nice to know that for $150, you couldn't get the Holiday Inn for $150?
Yes, you can.
Right? Right? That's pretty cheap.
You can.
That's
or you
cheap.
Can get the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah. You have a story at least.
It comes complete with the grass carpet out front.
Come on.
I'm serious.
It's already
feeling
really okay,
has the grass carpet
okay,
out front.
Okay, what else is there?
There's like a little grill thing, funky furniture. Just check it out on Airbnb if you're...
I'm being talked into it right now.
If you're really, really into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have some morning talk. Rather, coffee talk.
Coffee talk?
Coffee talk. Let's talk about it. Coffee talk. Now we're talking my language. Coffee. There's two types of people.
Yeah.
Either you don't drink coffee or you drink all the coffee. Right? Like, that's like, right? Like, that's
isn't
really
it. Isn't it like a room kind of... it brings the room down when you go, would you like coffee or tea? And they go, coffee. And they go, yeah. And if they go, tea. And they go, meow.
Right, yeah. Tea is just such a buzzkill, isn't it? It really is.
Like you're not going to be on the level that I am with energy.
Ronnie, that lovely lady of mine, she drinks so much coffee. When I get home, the coffee mug's all over the house. I'm like, woman, just go to 94 octane. Why don't you? Like, why so much coffee?
How much coffee does she drink?
She drinks like 3-4 cups a day.
Wow.
Like French press. I mean, there's just coffee grounds all over the kitchen all the
and
time.
She changes mugs, I guess.
Jamaica changed the mugs. Yeah, so all my mugs are black now. But check out what I'm reading here.
Okay.
Average coffee drinker. How much coffee do you think they drink?
I think the average coffee drinker per day.
Yeah.
Cup wise. No, we're not talking grande, venti, whatever. Just 10 cups. Cup
yeah,
of coffee.
Cups,
like
cups
a mug.
Coffee.
Probably 6 to 8.
You're on the higher side, but I've seen people who do 6 to 8.
Yeah.
It's 3 to 4 cups a day.
3 to 4. And is that okay health-wise? I wonder.
You know, if you guys listen to the show, every week we come with a different stat. Oh, coffee's going to kill you. Oh, it's great for you. This is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know this about life. Anything in moderation, right? It's supposed to be anything in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the average person drinking 4 cups of coffee a day, it's like it's a controlled substance. Like, we're addicted.
I am addicted.
I love it, and there's no way I'm ever stopping drinking.
That's it. That's it.
The interesting thing about coffee is I always thought that it made you alert. Like, I thought that it was like there was something in it. I thought the caffeine was making you more energized. What it does is it blocks your tired receptors, which I find interesting.
It's like does it?
Yeah, it's like a little shield. So it stops you from feeling tired versus making you feel more awake.
Uh-huh.
It's actually just stopping all the tired things. All the tired signals your brain's trying to send you to go to bed, it says, nah, forget it.
Right, but you're probably still tired on the inside.
Absolutely you are. You absolutely are.
And no matter, that extra cup of coffee sometimes doesn't cut it. Now, I won't say what company, but I had to do an ad for a coffee company.
Okay.
And they said to me in my contract, you have to learn how to sip and savor.
Oh.
And I said, let me show you how it's done. Because the reason why I'm addicted to coffee is my mother enjoyed it so much. I thought, what makes her so happy?
Yeah.
Was it my father? Not really. It was the way that she cherished that cup of coffee.
Yeah,
and she would sip and sip.
It's an art form.
It's an art form.
Yeah.
And I if there's anything that you cannot take away from me, it's that.
Well,
I'll do potato chips, potatoes, sure.
Sure.
But not coffee.
Well, I will say, I'm not a connoisseur, but I'm a frequenter of coffee, and,
yes.
I love a good quality coffee.
You know what shocks me about you is you do not drink coffee on the weekend.
Not at all.
What
not
that
at all.
Is
nope.
The Saturday, Sunday morning coffee, first cup, best cup of the week.
Well, because I love grapefruit juice.
Oh.
So I wake up in the morning, I'll have like a citrus drink, like a grapefruit juice or an orange juice or something like that.
Yeah, you're so Caribbean.
I'm extremely Caribbean. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I want to read you guys an email that we got from someone who hangs out with the show every morning, and there's two layers to this issue. It's a dating situation. It's also a workplace situation.
Uh-huh.
All right. Feel free to text us at 104536 with your response on how Miss Kristen should deal with this. Hey, guys, good morning. It's Kristen, and I'm emailing you because a guy in the office keeps asking me out, and I feel so bad for coming up with excuses because he really is nice. I just don't feel physically attracted to him, so I don't know that it would work. I was thinking of taking him to lunch one day this week just to let him know that I don't want to date him but have no problem with us being friends. I know nothing is worse than being told, let's be friends, but what else can I do without him hating me? Is lunch too much? Should I just pull him aside and tell him? What should I do, Kristen? Text 104536. Like I said in the beginning, two layers to this.
Yeah.
Depending on how you take it, some people would say that's like workplace harassment.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there with it, but like, let's just be real. Let's be real.
Where
was this? We read this story where there was a certain office that said you only get to ask somebody out once.
That's right. We did that about months ago. Yeah.
And then if you ask them out again, if the person does not give you a definitive yes, you cannot ask them out again, or else they can tell HR that you're harassing them.
Yeah, that stayed with you. I forgot about
it
that
stayed
story.
With me
because
I mean, I think that happened. You know, you work with people and you start making connections and finding people attractive. It's kind of natural to do so, but you have to get it under control.
I think the key is there that he keeps asking her out, but also that she keeps coming up with excuses. So she might be saying, oh, I'm busy or whatever. So he thinks there's still maybe an opportunity. He thinks he's getting a maybe yes. And so she's going to have to just completely say,
it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for a Waccachino.
Yeah.
We're going to go over to Starbucks. We're going to get a coffee,
you
know, and we're going to take a walk, and I'm going to buy you a coffee, and I'm going to have a little chat with you outside the office.
Right.
So what you say is, like, I'm going to buy you a coffee. Let's go for a coffee. I want to talk to you about something. I appreciate you asking me out all the time, and I want to still, be a good workmate to you. Not friends, because you're not friends.
Right.
You're not friends, but I just want you to know I don't think it's a good idea, nor do I wish to go out with you. But to be a workmate with you, absolutely. And then you walk a chino back into the office.
That's a good one.
The
I
coffee
like
is a good call because lunch
is too much of a commitment,
too much time,
and that'll make him hopeful. False hope.
You're right.
We don't want that.
She says, "Okay, let's do lunch tomorrow." And it's almost like leading him on because then he's going to all his friends. Oh my gosh, me and Kristen, we got a lunch date tomorrow. I can't wait to see. It's going down. You don't want that.
Yeah. So do it. Do it as soon as you can. Do it either for before the actual day starts or for lunch. Just say I'm not going to have lunch today, but I'm going to go grab a coffee, like mid-afternoon coffee, and get it done. And that way, actually, I'm going to change my mind on this.
Okay.
I would do mid-afternoon if there's a coffee break.
Yeah.
Sometimes people take that 3 o'clock break if you're a 9 to 5-er and do that and then make it happen so that he doesn't have to stay at work and deal with what you just said if it's a disappointment to him.
Yeah, keep it super casual.
Casual. And just
I
say
love
thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go. Kristen?
I think that's it. That, I hope Kristen's listening still.
Yeah.
You know, I just think the workplace part of it makes it really dicey. You got to be careful with those things.
I know, but you're right, though. That's where you meet a lot of people. So,
so
that's our advice to you from Chum. We hope that helps a lot, Kristen.
104536, if you're texting some advice to Kristen, we'll get back to that in a second. We got some really good some responses to the email Kristen sent us, who basically said one of her coworkers is really into her. He wants to go on a date. She's just not into him.
She's making up a lot of excuses, right? Not to go out with
him. Yeah. And the basis is that she's just not attracted to him.
Yeah.
And she wants to kind of let him down easy without being rude. And she's not sure how to do it.
You know, she suggested lunch. And we're saying, no, I don't think that's too much of a commitment. Don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. You suggested getting a coffee. And I think that's a great idea.
Coffee late afternoon, little 3 o'clock break, and just go across the street, go get a coffee, and then have a chat after that.
And someone else texted in and said that when you're having that conversation, something that might be helpful to tell him is, you know, I'm just not comfortable dating a coworker. If you're trying to find a way to finesse the whole, I'm just actually not attracted to you, and you don't want to make that uncomfortable, just say, yeah, I've been down this road before, and I don't want to date someone I work with. It never goes well.
So then he quits his job and then asks that again. Let's just cut it right where we can cut it.
No, that would be super persistent if you did that.
Well, you know, he's pretty persistent now. That's what I'm concerned about.
Oh, no.
That'd be. But listen, I give him cool points for at least wanting to have a face-to-face interaction, because one of the big concerns right now with dating is everyone's on these apps.
Yes.
Everyone swipe.
Yeah.
And no one's really making face-to-face connections, and it's causing a lot of stress for people in the dating world, and I get it. Check this out. There's a new app called Perchance.
Mm-hmm.
Perchance is a dating app made by a 31-year-old woman who says, hey, all the swiping has created a crazy paradox. Now, there are too many people to choose from, so we can't make a good choice. So with this app...
It's not an app. It's a dating service.
It's a service, right. It's a service.
Opposite of the app.
That's the bad
terminology. We're so used to saying a dating app.
Right. I know. That's true.
So with this service, they have these events where you have to meet someone face-to-face. When you're at a bar, when you buy a drink, the drink has to be for someone else. It's like forcing you to make face-to-face interaction.
Paying it forward, like at the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Yeah, they host these mixers, so the rules are no phones, no talking about work, and you can only buy drinks for other people. And they said that it's supposed to eliminate the fact that when you go onto these like dating apps and other dating sites, it reduces everyone to just a photo and a job title, what you look like and what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And she wants people to actually connect, figure out if you have that in real life chemistry,
get
back to manners, get back to learning how to make eye contact.
Get back to talking to human beings.
Yeah, learn how to listen, learn how to decide what you even want, because instead of just swiping all the time and being worried about, is there someone else out there that could be better for me? Is there someone better around the next swipe? Just get in front of someone.
Right. And you know, right now it's scary because a lot of people are not used to doing that. And that's the way it used to be done all the time. You would know within an instant whether you like somebody or not.
Can you believe that that's where we are now?
That's where we are now. So what a great idea if you're a bar to get in on this instead of like happy hour.
Yeah.
To get in on just kind of do that kind of thing. And there's no age limit. Like there really isn't. And that would be a fun thing to do.
You remember the bar we talked about yesterday that was in St. Louis that was going to have drinks by the hour?
Yes.
We don't want that bar to host.
No. That would be a mess.
No. I think that's a great idea. Somehow, I just ran into a friend of mine yesterday. She said, how do you meet people? And I said, well, that's a tough one these days because, you know, you got to get out there. That's the first thing.
Marilyn, the lost art of conversation.
Uh-huh.
Man. It's Princess Margaret Cancer Center Day on CHUM, and joining us now is our own producer, Tom Jokic.
Yay. In case you missed our chat with Tom a couple of weeks ago, he was in to discuss why he's been absent from the morning show.
So Tom is a patient at Princess Margaret Cancer Center, so we thought who better to talk to us about Princess Margaret than our producer.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, nice place you got here.
Yeah, well, you know.
Tom, I need you to tell us the day, and I know what day it was. It was May 23rd. Am I right on that?
Yes, it was, yeah.
When you found out about your diagnosis, but when did you feel that something was wrong?
I felt that something was kind of starting to take a bad turn maybe last December or January. And that's when I went to my family doctor and talked to him about the pain that I had. So I had a pain in my abdomen, and it kind of radiated to my back. And so I underwent a whole bunch of tests over the intervening months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was on that May 23rd that they just said, Tom, mass is in your pancreas. There's some in your liver as well. This is really bad. And I found out a few days later they were talking about stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So that obviously puts a real scare into you.
What did you think at that moment? Honestly, we thought it was you and I when we chatted, like something with your stomach.
Yes.
I
thought it was like gastritis or an ulcer or something like that. And that's what they were aiming at. But essentially, you're getting the look from your doctor saying it's time to start looking after your personal affairs.
Mm.
That is a complete shock. I didn't expect it. And of course, then you, you know, start thinking about the people that are most important in your life. My girlfriend, Renee, my boys, Dallas and Graham. And then a very, very kind of like your immediate circle of friends and your family. And
yes,
that's what you think about. And you just think about spending time with them and enjoying whatever time you have left.
Yeah. Now, your history with, of course, our program and with Princess Margaret, how soon did you make that connection? Like, hey, I need to contact these guys.
Well, the funny thing is my doctor gave me a choice between two cancer centers in Toronto. And I just said, well, if this is a no-brainer, it's Princess Margaret. We've done so much work with them. I know a little bit about them. I never thought for a moment that I would be involved in having to go there for care. But but there I was.
So
a week
later.
So if you
had received this diagnosis 10 years ago, with all the stuff that we know now and all the advancements they made, it might have been a different outcome.
It might have been a different outcome. And because what I have is actually called a pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor. They call it a PNET. So literally, I am a peanut. That's what they call it.
I always had a feeling, Tom.
And that is quite a bit different. And thankfully, it is a better prognosis for me. And the long-term prognosis is much, much better than the original prognosis. But what they found out about peanuts, about the neuroendocrine tumors, in that time has changed so much.
Wow.
And so that's why the research is so necessary for them to be able to diagnose you properly.
Princess Margaret experience. Describe that for us.
Well, it's so interesting. You walk in there the first time and you're honestly stunned by how many people are affected by cancer. And there are so many people that are in the various divisions of the cancer center. But, you know, they treat you so well. You're kind of put on a team where there's a team of doctors. I actually have a tumor board, of people looking at my tumors on a regular basis, studying them and seeing what they all believe as a group. So it's not left to one doctor, although I have a main doctor, Dr. Carol Ann Moulton, who I would like to give a shout out to. She's fantastic. But there's a tumor board that looks after you, and they determine what's the next course of action.
A collective of thought. This sounds like extreme attention to detail.
Collaboration,
yes, it really is.
Right? Collaboration,
yeah.
Make the right plan for you. So why should people buy a Princess Margaret lottery ticket?
Well, it's pretty simple. By doing so, you help fund the research, which is crucial to all the minutiae of detail that they need to discover about all the various forms of cancer that there are.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing so, you just help. You help someone like me, or honestly, someone like yourself. You could be saving your own life.
Yeah.
You know, we had someone in here last year for Princess Margaret Day who had bought the lottery tickets for years and years and years and could have conceivably saved their own life because of the money that they put into the research.
Yeah, right. Top five research, cancer centers for sure.
Yeah.
So that's why you want us to buy a Princess Margaret Home Lottery ticket. How are you doing right now? What's the next thing?
I'm feeling great. I do have a major surgery coming up on October 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of shout-outs from listeners and from friends about my condition. I appreciate everyone who's reached out to me. My prognosis is very good, and I do expect to be back, hopefully, new year.
Okay.
Hopefully at the latest.
Okay,
so,
very good.
Yeah. So, if the surgery goes well, and I assume it will, then I should be back soon.
Tom Jokic, good to see you in the room.
Great
again.
To see you, brother.
We'll be thinking about you and, of course, talking with you as well.
Well, thank you to you, Marilyn. The last time I was in, I spoke, a great deal about your support and everyone here about how supportive you've been and the listeners as well. Thank you.
Awesome.
Get up. Don't hit snooze anymore. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar. Wake up. I love this show. Chum 104.5.